I work in an office and I have an A4 size diary, and I think I've said to you before that I've sat in meetings and sometimes have a wee look and see what the quote for the day is. And I found one from Monday last week, and I think one from Monday next week, or this week now. And a guy, the first one is from James McIntosh, it is right to be content with what we have, never with what we are. And I thought, oh, that actually probably suits my talk. And then for the one from Ralph Waldo Emerson, the only person you are destined to become is the person you decide to be. And the first guy, James, he was born in 1765. He's a politician. Ralph was born in 1803, I think it is. And I'm not sure really what his job was, but they've left a lot of quotes if you want to look them up on Wikipedia. I don't know whether they were Christians or not, but I think it is right that, or it's accurate to say that those things apply today. Now, Nigel, I almost feel like cancelling this morning because the video was so good. It was an excellent summary, and we'll touch on some of those things. And what I'm really going to stress today is the practicality of it. How do we actually live a holy life? What should we be doing? What should we be thinking, etc.? So think about, hopefully you're contented with what you have. You know, your car does the job, your roof doesn't leak too much in your house, those sort of things. But could we say it would be great if we were better? We can always do better, can't we? And as I reflect on it, you know, I could have been a better son, better father, better husband, you know, those sort of things, better grandfather. You know, we can always do better. So we shouldn't be just satisfied in mediocre performance. We need to be constantly striving. And that's about not working for our salvation, but we're told to work out our salvation. And also it's something, if you just decide that you're going to do nothing, that's where you end up. And so that's the second quote. You know, if you say my intention is to really follow God and to be a true believer and really honour him in my life, well, that's a great goal to have. Maybe I should put this on PowerPoint so I can actually follow my own slides. So we're on number two now, Andrew. So you've already heard sanctification means to be reserved or set apart for holy use. Oh, that's my definition anyway. And so I'm going to use the word holiness today. When Neville asked me to do this talk on sanctification, basically I started reading through a Bible. It's an NLT version, and it's in chronological order. So it's a little bit different from what I'm used to. I find I can't really use it at church because it's just too hard to find anything. But it was interesting to look through and find from the epistles, and I just marked, yep, that's about holiness, holiness, holiness. And I was absolutely amazed how many verses that I actually pulled up. Today you'll think that I'm going to absolutely shot blast you with verses, but I think it just shows you the repetition that's in there in the Bible. And we're told to be knowledgeable about what it says in the Word and then to go and do it. And so God wants us to live God-honouring lives, and he wants to transform us to be more like Christ. And I quite like this quote as well. Holiness is not the way to Christ. We can't work our way to Christ and holiness, but Christ is the start. He is the way to holiness. And again, it was talked through in the video today to say, look, when you become a Christian, that is the start of your holiness journey. And Christ is the way to holiness. Next one, thanks, Andrew. Number three. So Jeremy, I don't think he's here today, but he gave an excellent talk on justification a few weeks ago. And what I really took at it, and I remember saying to Jeremy afterwards, is look, it's entirely God's work. He kept stressing that, and I get it. Justification is what God does. And sanctification is what God does as well. We heard that when we become a Christian, we are seen as holy in God's sight. But if I asked each of you here, and if I said to you, how does God see you? If you're a Christian, how does God see you? Does he see you as holy? I would like to think everyone's hand goes up. But likewise, if I said, the last week that you've just lived or the last year that you've just lived, would you consider yourself a holy person? Have you reached perfection? And probably I don't think I'd see any hands up. Maybe except Nigel. you know, it's something we always can do better, can't we? You know, our attitudes, our thoughts, and what we do. And so as I just sort of do a wee comparison here between sanctification, justification, sanctification is a continuous process. And so we are never perfect until we go and meet our Saviour in eternity. And we also know some Christians are more holy than others. It's the way it is. And it's an intentional thing that we should be involved in to become more like Christ. So I've used the word position, two words today, both with P, position, where we are in Christ, how Christ sees us, and the second one is about our practice. I think it was a different word. It used progressive sanctification in the video. I'm not sure what other word. I think it was another one, but I've used the word position and practice. So I am going to hit you with a lot of verses today. If we get time, we'll actually work through a few together as well, just to break it up a little bit, and hopefully you get the idea. So the first one is about our position in Christ. And as I reflected, all of the, a lot of the epistles, Paul started off and he said, look, I'm writing to you, who are wherever. And the first one in Romans 1 and 7 says, I'm writing to you all in Rome, who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. Now, I don't see that as two people groups. I see there's only one group. So if you've been called by God, you're loved by God, you are his own holy people. And also the Church of Corinth. I know some of you went to the Bible school down at Ellis Road the other day, and it was talked about here in 1 Corinthians 1. And he says, I'm writing to God's church in Corinth. To you have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did, or I'd like to say as he does, for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours. And God has united us with Christ Jesus. It's for our benefit. God made him to be wisdom itself. God made us to be right with God. He made us pure and holy. And he freed us from sin. So those are all kind of past tense, aren't they? And so that's something that's already happened, and we saw that on the video as well when we become Christians. Number five, you know, this Corinthians church, actually, I think again the word rat bags probably comes up. Some of them were really quite a bit off, you know, and particularly as they celebrated the Lord's Supper, some of them had got drunk, some of them were hungry, and they go, hey, I can't wait, I'm pushing in front of you. They are God's people, but their behaviour wasn't really what God wanted. And there was a big list prior to this, 1 Corinthians 6 and 11, says, well, some of you were like that. You know, you had bad behaviour, but you are cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And in Ephesians 1, we find, I guess it's another topic or doctrine of predestination, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us to be in Christ, to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So that's what God wants us to be, without fault. And it's interesting, the songs were sung this morning, I think the word faultless come up, and I read one person wrote, look, we are blameless in God's sight, but we're not faultless. And the way that we live. So, you know, that's mixing up a little few words there as well. And also writing to the people in Philippi, again, holy people in Philippi. And this is the really good news, that it also includes the church leaders and deacons. So that's really good, isn't it, that they are included in those holy people along with the general congregation. And we're writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. So we keep getting the same thing over and over to find out that, look, if we are a Christian, we are truly seen as holy in God's sight. Page 6 says, when he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe. This includes you, for you believed, and we told you about him. That's from 2 Thessalonians. And also, in again, 2 Thessalonians, we're always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that comes through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. And God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. So hopefully no one is in any doubt. If you're a Christian, God sees you as holy. You've passed from death to life. You've been transferred into the kingdom of his son. All of those good things. So don't let anybody look down on you. However, the practice of Christians, and this is really what I want to focus on today. Lots and lots of text. I apologize for that. I will get you to do a little bit of work later on if we have time. But as Christians, how do we actually live out our lives? If there was a survey amongst your workmates and go, hey, what's Gerald like at work? Oh, is it really bad news? You know, he lies and he cheats and he whatever. You go, that's not how he should be. And so what I was really amazed as I read through, and I've just followed these through in the same order that we have the New Testament, I was absolutely amazed about how many verses relate to holy living. And so I want to encourage you today, let's be practical about it. Let's say, hey, that stood out to me. I need to change the way that I do these things. And the first one is in Romans 6 and 12 to 18. If you want a list of verses afterwards, there are a lot of pages here we're going to go through and do it very quickly. But, you know, this is a bit of a summary that I've taken from these verses. And it says, don't give in to sinful desires and use your body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Not what is wrong, but it's for God's glory. And Romans 12, there's quite a big section there, and I've summarized it again. Giving your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, not against what God would want, but what God would want. It tells us to let God transform us and evaluate ourselves honestly. Don't think of ourselves more highly than we should. We're told that we are given a gift, each given a gift, and we're to use that generously. We're to love each other, we're to work hard, keep praying, and live at peace with everyone. I'm sure we all do that, or do we? You know, live at peace with everyone. It's always hard, isn't it? Number 8, further in Romans, says live a life of goodness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Aim for harmony and build each other up. You know, this last week I've been challenged quite a lot by a procurement specialist about the way I run a project and the number of orders I've got and the variations and things like that. And I've really kind of had to kind of bite my lip, I suppose, because I don't like criticism. And it's really easy to say too much in response. And, you know, it ruins the harmony of good work relationships, doesn't it? But in the church here as well, do we really aim for harmony or do we aim to stir each other up? And what we should be doing is building each other up and encouraging one another. And again, honouring God with their body from 1 Corinthians. And our goal should be to please God. And we should cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit and work towards complete holiness because we fear God. And that's where the second saying or quote came from that made me think about this. It's we need to work to complete holiness. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. If we don't have that goal in our mind, our intention, well, it's not going to happen. And number 9 tells us, serve one another in love. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in your life. There's 9 of them. Who can name them for me, please? Anyone? Yep. Excellent. Thank you very much. So thank you for that. Really, really appreciate it. But you know, if we looked at ourselves, how many people would say, Gerald, you're a loving person, you're always full of joy, full of peace, you're a patient person, you're kind, you're good, faithful, you're gentle, and you have self-control at all times? Yeah, well, no, I've missed the mark, haven't I? Now, maybe you haven't missed the mark, but that's something we should be striving to do as well. Because the Holy Spirit will guide us and help us. We need to work with God, but we need to have that intention in our lives to make that happen. It says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Don't tell lies. Don't be controlled by anger. Don't steal. Let everything you say be good and helpful, and forgive one another. You know, God has forgiven us for every single thing, every sin we've ever committed. God will forgive us, and he will cleanse us as well. Number 11, follow Christ's example. He is perfect. Pretty hard thing to follow, but we should aim to follow what he wants. No sexual immorality, impurity or greed, obscene stories, foolish talk or coarse jokes. You know, sometimes it's easy to, someone says something funny at work or whatever, but is it really funny? Is it really obscene? Is it actually not what God would want us to be involved with? So we should carefully determine what God wants us to do. And also says no drunkenness. Be filled with righteous character and conduct yourself in a manner of the worthy of the good news. You know, we've received the good news. Jesus Christ has come into this world to save sinners, and we are sinners, and he saved us. And let's show that we are truly committed to him. Maybe I've said before, but I had a person that worked for me as a Christian, and when I went to his funeral, I was really pumped up. And this guy was a great guy, and he shared the good news of Jesus. One of my colleagues actually said to me when going on the way out, Gerald, did you know all that? Did you know all that? And, you know, I said, well, look, I just pretended I was ignorant. And you go, what are you talking about? Oh, all that Christian stuff, you know. And that really hurt inside, you know, that we should conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of good news. You know, are we really following Christ? Number 12, work together with one mind and purpose, and to be humble. And I was just thinking of Charlie and the organisation for the painting bee. You know, we work together with one as one team and one purpose to get that paint on the wall and not too much on the carpet. That's what we should be doing, you know, working together with one mind, showing our love for Christ and spreading that to the world. And look out for others' interests. It doesn't say not look out for your own, but put other people in the picture as well, and certainly preserve their needs as well. Do everything without complaining or arguing. So next time you have to do the dishes, remember that. That's what God wants us to be like. And to fix our thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Now that's quite a list as well, isn't it? Fix our thoughts. So it's not just our behaviour, it's actually our thoughts as well. Number 13, have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. I don't know if you've watched the news in the last week, but I think you've probably seen Donald Trump really get convicted. 34 counts, was it? But, you know, like, he's done these things, and I guess it's come back to haunt him. So, look, I do encourage you, young people and old people alike, you know, keep yourself pure. That's what God wants us to live like. Clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Again, forgiving others. Clothing yourself with love. Live in peace and be thankful. I like the last one here. These are all basically taken from NLT versions, but it says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. You know, we have reps that come to work and they try and sell you stuff, and sometimes they're really good reps and they're accurate and they know the product and they're good salespeople, and you say, yes, I'll buy that. What are we like? Are we good representatives of the Lord Jesus? Or would people go, nah, he's doing more damage, or they are doing more damage than good? Think about that, being a good rep for Jesus. I think we've got a couple of minutes. Now, this is where I want you to do some work. So I've got three topics here. I want this side here to perhaps do number one and two, and this side here to do number one and three. So number one's just a really small passage. And I'd just like you to just, in your groups or however you want to organise it, individually, we'll just spend perhaps about 3 or 4 minutes just reading through those passages. Because there's really concentrated stuff in here about helping us live a holy life. So maybe we'll work, three or four minutes. Has anyone had the chance to read through it? Okay. Who's got something for the first verses? Do you want to see my summary? Number 15. Thanks, Andrew. Growing love, which overflows. You know, sometimes I cook porridge in the microwave and I go, yep, 4 minutes, that'll be good. Wasn't enough last time, so I'll give it 5. And they go, gee, I wish I hadn't done that. That's overflowing. But is our love overflowing, or is it kind of just like stuck to the bottom of the jar and only a millimetre high? You know, think about that. Or maybe muffins, you know, they grow out and they go right through the cupcake sort of paperwork or whatever. That's how our love should be, growing love which overflows. Now, I've summarised 1 Thessalonians for you guys over here. Live in a way that pleases God. Stay away from sexual sin. Again, repeating that. Don't cheat on your spouse. Live in a quiet life. Mind your own business. Anyone get any more that from out of that section of 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-12? Yep, be busy with your hands. That's right. So we're to work hard, not to be lazy. Thanks, Jay. Anyone else? Yes. Thank you for that. And one of the things I reflect as we read this, the society's changed, and what's now accepted, language and that sort of thing, is not really what God would want. And, you know, I was talking to someone here recently about probably, I don't know, 30 years ago or something. There was a Toyota ad on TV and it had a word in it, and our kids, you know, used that word. Our children use that word, and sort of go, hang on a minute, have you heard us using that? No, but the TV used it, so therefore it was okay to use. So we're going to judge ourselves by God's standards, not by the world's standards, for sure. So thanks for that, and we need to stand up for that.
Love one another.
Yep, that's true, isn't it? Love one another. It's repeated, so I didn't want to repeat too many of these things. Okay. Number 16, Andrew, what have we got over this side for? Have you got any more apart from what I've written here? Honour your church leaders. That's something that I don't think it's come up before, but it is something we need to do. It's actually hard being a leader in a church or even in a business. There's always criticism. You can always do better. There's always people that have different agendas, but we are to honour and respect those who lead us, to live peacefully, warn the lazy, encourage the timid, and help the weak. That's some good advice there. And be patient. Don't pay back evil for evil, but do good to each other. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Test and then hold on to what's good. Anyone else for some more things out of that? No? Okay, let's move on then. We're getting towards the end. So we're on number 17. Righteous living results in our Lord Jesus being honoured. Think again of the representative that I brought to you before. We want to honour the Lord Jesus. And he's called us. God has saved us and now he's called us to live a holy life and devote yourself doing what's good. Think of ways to motivate acts of love. So it's not just what we do ourselves. We need to help other people and encourage them to do good works and to do what God would want. And number 18, keep our eyes on Jesus. He initiates our salvation, our faith, and he perfects it. We need to work at living at peace. It doesn't come easy, does it? Well, not for me anyway. And work at living a holy life. Worship our Lord God. That's what he wants us to do as we come here to church and in our homes, our workplaces, wherever we are. We want to worship him. And I remember teaching James 1 at Sunday school years ago, and thinking, well, actually, this kind of fits me. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. That's what I need to learn, and learn that lesson pretty well. As I say, during the week, I had to bite my tongue and be a bit more slow to speak and slow to get angry. And do what God says in His Word. It's written there. This is encouragement for us. This is how we can have knowledge of what God wants by reading His Word, controlling our tongue, and caring for orphans and widows. And in James, it tells us, if you're wise and you understand God's ways, prove it by living an honourable life. There's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Prove it by living an honourable life. You must be holy in everything we do, just as God who chose you is holy. And this is a bit of a challenge. We've got some new neighbours, and someone very graciously and lovingly left a casserole at one of the neighbours' places instead of at our place. And it was a great opportunity to go and meet the neighbour that had only been in for a few weeks, and I hadn't even seen them. So they said, gee, this smells nice. But they gave it back to me. So it was a great opportunity to meet the neighbour. But, you know, what does the neighbour actually think of us? Are they kind of weirdos? Or are we actually really peaceful and loving people? And number 20, respect everyone, love the family of believers. So the family of believers here, the family of believers universally, every Christian, we need to love one another and fear God and respect the King. Don't retaliate with insults, but pay back with a blessing. Now that's a hard one, isn't it? Sometimes easier to do nothing and not retaliate, but we're to pay back with a blessing. And be ready to suffer for Christ. I think Jackie's just brought that up as well, that we need to be prepared to say, look, we need to stand up and to say this is what God wants. And He wants us to be earnest and disciplined in prayer. Cheerfully sharing your home, sharing hospitality, and God will never fail us. Remember with the song we sung, God, our God is a great and awesome God, and He is a good, good God. He will never fail us. And give all your worries and cares to God. He cares about you. He knows you. He loves you. And you don't need to take it all on yourself. Trust God, and He will honour you in what you do. I know it's getting near lunchtime, so I thought I'd just put this up. Number 21. I actually can't read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7 without thinking of a pizza now. It's just embedded in my head. But what's the base? What is the base? It's written up there. Faith. Faith in Christ. If you don't have faith in Christ, it's like trying to build a pizza without a base. And all it just goes is just a sloppy mess, isn't it? And so it is. We need faith in Christ. That's absolutely number one. That is our base. And on that, Peter tells us we should make every effort to add moral excellence or goodness, knowledge, self-control, patience, endurance or perseverance, godliness, brotherly affection, that's kindness, and love for everyone. So the base is faith in Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Remember the quote. And so if we think about that, it's not just sort of go, yep, I've got faith in Christ, I won't bother doing any more and I won't live it to honour Him. That's not the way it should be. We should make every effort to do these things and to be good stewards of what God's given us and to encourage others and to build them up in the faith as well. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Gerald. Man, a lot of verses that talk about what we should be doing, isn't there? And I think I mentioned it the other night at Elders, said if we're all perfect people, the Bible would be very thin. But it's not. It's quite a big book, and that book is there for us to grow into our relationship with God. And I'm thankful that God is gracious, compassionate. He is long-suffering. And the picture that we are baptized into Jesus, But when we fall and when we sin, we don't get baptized again and baptized again. We're baptized once into Jesus Christ. But he says, you're to wash your feet. So as we walk in the world, our feet get dirty. And we know that. We know that we get things wrong, we sin. And the picture is that we wash our feet, we say sorry to our God, and we carry on walking. And that's what he has given us in Jesus Christ, because he lives within us. He doesn't disappear, he's always there. So praise to our King, praise to our God. Well, thank you for your attention this morning. And we're going to close in prayer. Please join with us. Cup of tea, cup of coffee. Hopefully there's some biscuits there. And let's, just fellowship together. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you once again that you love us so much. And you have chosen to live within us. Father, we pray that as we do walk this week, help us, Lord, to walk with Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be the feet, the hands, the words of Jesus, Lord, to those around us. May we honour you, Lord, in all that we say and all that we do. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.